This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, indeed. Good morning. I am joined not by one, but two. Julie Wisenhorn and John Trappi, if you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, this is your day here on our Smart Garden Show. Julie and John, good morning. Nice to have you guys back.
Hey, Denny.
Good morning, Denny.
Morning, John. Yes, if you're new to the show, thanks, first of all, for joining us. Julie and John, both with the U of M, and you can find them at that beautiful arboretum. I was just zooming by there the other day. Once in a while, stopping in, of course.
Oh, but you didn't stop.
Well, I had business to attend.
Oh, of course, of course.
Finding some fast food, actually, but that was a whole other story. No, I'm just joking.
Should have come to the Rootstock.
I should. That's a fun restaurant, by the way. That's
great. Yeah.
I want to get back to the subject at hand here, and that's lawns and gardens. Julie, of course, with the U of M, and John as well. But John is maybe, you know, we could do a little introduction again for new listeners. We're getting new listeners all the time. Julie, you've been with us here on CCO for a lot longer than John has. But for those that don't know, give us an introduction. What is John about here?
You want me to introduce John?
Yeah.
Okay. John is the best turf expert I've ever known.
Wow. Those are quite the compliment. My name's John Trappi. I'm the turf grass extension educator with the University of Minnesota. So basically anybody in the state that handles turf in some capacity, my job is to basically help them out with turf problems or, if it's just general turf advice or if it's an actual problem that they might be seeing or experiencing.
Oh, yeah. And again, as I tried to open up here the show with, this is your chance, our listeners, not only to ask Julie any particular garden question, but John is here now to help out. And if you have a lawn question, this is your day. We love it, too, when John joins Julie to kind of an added value, if I can use that phrase, for the show. So lawn questions, yeah, bring them to us this morning. Any kind of a lawn or garden question, we'd love to hear from you. Yeah, you can call it in. You can text it in. 651-461-9226. Once in a while, we get texts that come in early this in the morning, sometimes 4 or 5 o'clock for the Lawn or Garden Show. And this one is no exception. This texter wrote, "Good morning. I received my onion plants today, about 4 inches tall. My question is it safe to plant them now? And if I water them as they're growing with side troughs, will that interfere with the size of the bulb?"
I think that I would. I haven't looked at the forecast. I don't know, Denny, if you've been probably talking about it all morning.
Yeah.
But I think you could probably start to harden them off a little bit. So what that means is that you're going to introduce them little by little to our temperatures that we're having outside. So you can put them now into a cooler location or put them outside if it's warm and sunny during the day. Just put them outside for a short while. Bring them back in at night if it's going to get chillier. And just you're kind of acclimating them to the conditions that they're going to ultimately be planted in. And I'm going to guess, I don't know, Denny, what the forecast is. I haven't looked, but I'm going to guess you could probably plant them within the next week or two outside.
Now, I'm looking at the lowest temperature, 35 to 37 is going to happen one night this week.
Okay.
The rest of the overnight lows will be in the 40s.
Sure. So that, I think I would probably just carefully acclimate them by putting them outside during the day little by little. And as far as the watering on a trough, I think what you mean is that you're digging a trough next to them and putting water in them and wondering if that's going to change the bulb size. Does that sound about right based on the question? If that's the case, I think that would be fine. I've never heard of that. I'm not a really experienced onion grower, to be honest, but we do have a good webpage on onions on our vegetable webpage on Yard and Garden at extension.umn.edu. And it gives you a lot of good information about onion growing, and it may address that watering question, but I know that it does give you tips on how to get the biggest bulbs possible. So take a look at that. It's under vegetables and vegetables A to Z. Onions.
Very good. Before we grab a phone call, texter wants to know, can I plant bare root trees now?
Yeah, you certainly could plant bare root trees right now. And bare roots are a really economical way to get your trees. They come bare root. They have to be kept cool and moist. So you want to keep them someplace. If you can't put them in the ground right away, that's, of course, ideal if you can get them and plant them immediately. But you want to put them into a cool location so they don't, and that they don't dry out. You might want to soak their roots for 24 hours before you put them in the ground in case, if they look a little bit dry, just to rehydrate them.
Okay. Let us grab a phone call this morning. Jim is calling in from Hutch, I do believe. Jim, thank you for the call. What is your question?
Good morning. I have a section of my lawn that we reclaimed. Used to be a garden area. Reseeded it. And lawn came in great. It matches everything around. But now, this spring, it looks like that rectangular area has actually settled and compacted, and it's now like an inch lower than the rest of the lawn. Is there any way to build that soil up without having to lose all the grass that we got in?
Yeah, that's a great question. And you can certainly do that. We call that top dressing. And what that is you're basically adding a very fine layer of sand or compost to the area that is, as long as you're doing it in a quarter inch at a time, maybe up to a half an inch at a time, and you just wait for the grass to continue to grow through it, you'll effectively raise that soil level. Now, I would align the soil or the amendment that you're adding to top dress with the type of soil you have. If you have real sandy soil, I would add sand. If you have really anything else, I would use compost. And it's just a quarter, half inch at a time. The lawn will just gradually grow through it, and you just keep adding fine layers until it's level.
Yeah, very good.
Well, that's, I don't know if I've ever heard that. That's a really good tip.
I think I might have to do that very thing.
That's awesome. That should be a good article.
Yeah.
A little what to do.
For sure. I know we're going to know once, Julie, we heard that John was going to be on today. So did our listeners. The questions have come in and still are. Is the ground temperature right to put down our crabgrass preventer yet?
So I just checked the turf grass dashboard, which is a decision support tool that we created to help homeowners and professionals know when is the best time or when it might be too late to apply a crabgrass preventer, because a crabgrass preventer is a pre-emergent herbicide that prevents crabgrass seedlings from germinating or from emerging. I looked ahead at the extended forecast, and it looks like for the Twin Cities around the 15th or 16th, we might be getting into a time frame where it gets to be too late, where it's not illegal or anything to apply the preventer, but you might start finding crabgrass germinating and emerging around the Twin Cities around the 15th or 16th. The rest of the state probably has another 4 or 5 days, maybe even longer than that up north, before crabgrass is germinating.
Okay. All right. Well, hang on, Julie and John. We'll take a quick break. Be right back. We have, texters and phone calls, and we'll get to them when we come back here. News Talk 830 WCCO. Good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show, brought to us by Great Garage Floors. Denny Long here, along with Julie Weisenhorn and John Traffy from the U of M. We're talking, boy, lawns and gardens. We're talking a lot of questions for both this morning, Julie and John. I'll tell you what, let's grab a phone call. Mary, first of all, is calling in from Dayton this morning. Mary, thanks for hanging on. What's your question, please?
I have a moss infestation in my lawn. How do I get rid of it?
Well, moss is typically a symptom of excessive shade and or moisture. So unless you address that kind of underlying issue, you're probably just going to see it again in the future. There's a number of herbicidal products that will affect the moss, but not necessarily your lawn. One trade name product is called Quicksilver that works pretty well. It may take a couple of applications, but it's a liquid formulation that you just spray. But I would look at trying to address that that excessive shade, and maybe you might just have too much shade. All lawns need at least a couple of hours of direct sunlight. If it's not getting at least that, maybe a ground cover or some kind of xeriscaping would be the better option there.
John, we got a couple of text messages, and earlier, for those just joining us a little bit late, we were talking about when to put down crabgrass preventer, and you were talking about a particular date. Maybe you can clarify that.
Yeah, I was just looking at the turf dashboard. That's April 15th or the 16th is when we're going to start getting soil temperatures around the 50-degree mark, and that's right when crabgrass is germinating. If we move more northerly in the state, it could be a week, it could be 2 or 3 weeks later, but it's really just based on soil temperatures. Anytime they get up around 50 to 52 degrees Fahrenheit, that's when crabgrass is going to start germinating. And then at that point, if you do apply a crabgrass pre-emergent, you still may find crabgrass plants that have germinated because they germinated before the herbicide could work.
Yeah, makes sense. Texter says, I mulched my strawberries last fall with straw. Can I remove it now?
Yes, you can start to push that away. I wouldn't remove the straw completely. It's a really nice ground cover to put around the plants to help reduce weeds, but also then to hold in moisture and moderate the soil temperatures. But you can push it off of the plants, tuck it around the plants, and that will help to reduce your work going forward.
Julie and John, this texter wants to move existing tulips, but additional soil needs to be added to the landscaping area where the tulips are planted due to erosion. They are planning on digging up the tulips, adding soil, and replanting, or is it possible to add soil on top of the bulbs without digging them up?
Well, the bulbs need to be at a certain depth. So I want to say tulips are 6 inches deep. I think it depends on the size of the bulb. But you can dig them up and move them. Right now, if they're emerging, which they probably are, it's going to be easier than if they are not. So if they're not coming up yet, then I would wait till you just see them and be really careful digging them up because they're big bulbs. And sometimes we inadvertently chop through the bulbs with our spades. So dig really big clumps of these tulip bulbs and then transplant them immediately. So you want to have the site ready to go. And then, or if you're going to raise that soil space in that area, get ready to just put in soil and then replant them in the same place. But dig them up in big clumps. It's going to be easier and probably safer for the bulbs.
Very good. Another lawn question, weather coming in too. The winter winds distributed my garden wood chips into the lawn. I want to get it cleaned up. When can I start raking my lawn? I know a lot of people are wondering that.
Yeah, I think, you know, as you start to see the lawn green up, I mean, you can rake anytime. It's just, I think some people have a tendency to overdo it because they think, you know, I need to remove quote unquote thatch or dead turf on the surface. And you don't typically need to worry about those things, even the wood chips, unless they're really piled up and shading out the lawn. But a couple of like wood mulch or wood chips, you could really do that at any time. If you really want to be safe, you could wait until the lawn starts growing a little bit more, which is probably going to start happening this next week.
You mentioned thatch. The texter wants, is it too early? Well, I think they need to dethatch my lawn. Let's talk a little bit about that. And is it absolutely necessary to do that?
Sure. And one of the most frustrating answers for people to hear is probably it depends. And it really depends if you have too much thatch. And too much is probably around 3/4 to 1 inch in thatch is when you have too much of it. Thatch is the partially decomposed plant tissues on the soil surface. And quite frankly, most lawns do not have excessive thatch. If you have prescribed to a higher nitrogen program or if you have really high soil organic matter, maybe your lawn is more prone to producing thatch than, say, really light sandy soils. So I, most people's lawns would not benefit from dethatching. But if it is excessive thatch, then I would look at doing it, but only after the lawn is actively growing. It's a little too early to be doing that just yet.
Very good point. Let's take a phone call. Gary is calling in from St. Louis Park, I believe, this morning. Gary, good morning. What is your question, please?
Hi, good morning. I did not put down a pre-emergent for the crabgrass because I've got some seeds that I've planted. After those seeds come up, is there such a thing as a post-emergence chemical that will kill the crabgrass?
Yeah, great question, Gary. That is, if there are a number of post-emergent grassy weed herbicides that would affect the crabgrass seedlings, but not the lawn. And if you did apply pre-emergent, you're doing the right thing by trying to wait until you have some emergence of your turf seedlings before trying to treat the crabgrass. Quinclorac is the active ingredient that works best. There's also an active ingredient called mesotrione. So you can find these grassy weed herbicides in most lawn and garden centers, but really check the product label. Generally, you're going to want to wait until after you've mowed the new turf seedlings once or twice before trying to treat those crabgrass seedlings after they have emerged.
All right, very good. You know what? It has come up against the clock. The time for a forecast. Let's see what this week's weather promises for any kind of outdoor lawn or garden work we have in mind. So we'll do this. We'll take a break, have a look at that forecast, come back with more of our Smart Garden Show this morning, brought to us by Great Garage Floors. And good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. If you're just joining us this morning, answering those questions, Julie Weisenhorn from the U of M and our turf expert, John Trappi, answering any kind of a lawn question you may have, and we have many. Texters and callers, both Julie and John, let's get back to them. Let's grab a couple of phone calls. Carl calling in from Plymouth this morning. Thank you, Carl. What's your question?
Good morning. I have a vinca ground cover under three large honey locust trees, and it's about 12 to 14 years old. It's flourished in the past. This past winter, it looks like it's been frozen and it's burned out. It's all brown. Can I mow it down and will it come back?
Yeah, I would probably do that. I was just going to say I would probably cut it back. And it's a pretty hardy ground cover, and I will hope that it comes back. I don't know about using a mower. I'm not sure I would do that. If you have like a weed whip, you might want to just knock the top of it off a little bit. I'm trying to rethink if it comes back on its old branches. In other words, its old stems from the previous years and blooms. So might want to do a little bit of research in that. I can take a look while we're offline, but yeah, that's a good question, but I believe you can cut it back.
All right. Thank you, Carl. George, checking in from Osseo this morning via the telephone. Thank you, George. What is your question?
Good morning. Two topic questions, a reseeding lawn question, as in putting in new seed, and the weeping willow cutting transplanting question. I got a summer location up by Mora, which I'm there 5 months out of the year. It's a camp, seasonal campground. It's got very heavy, my particular site actually has very heavy canopy, bur oaks, old growth, and all kinds of under foliage from new seedlings and so forth. But I've had trouble getting grass seed to take. And the way I understand it, first of all, the ground quality is, I believe, nutrition starved. It's kind of like a tan, non-black soil, which I've done flower beds where I actually dig down quite deep and add mulch and the peat moss and so forth as well to bring it up as nutrition, malarganite, so forth. So the soil itself for laying down a seed bed is starved. I understand that there's different than regular grass seed is like fescue and rye and there's a third name I can't remember. But it's made, or it's successful for low shade variety that comes in just like grass. Again, also, should I, when I lay down seed, should I lay down, say, additional cover of black soil to give it a little extra help to start growing? And then the second question, again, I was also thinking perhaps like they do out in California where they can't grow regular grass seed, go with like a Creepin' Charlie or something like that that they use where they don't have to maintain it and it pretty well heartily grows in and gives you a green surface. The second question real quick on weeping willows is I understand and I know you can cut the stems and then soak them in water and then plant them in soil. I'm wondering what is the best time of year to do that cutting and watering to get the seed or to get the root to start stimulating.
Do you have a couple of quick answers?
I'll do the quick answer because on the willow, yes, you can cut the branches and now is the time to do that.
Okay.
So regarding the lawn, the fine fescues are the most shade tolerant. So they're still going to need at least a couple of hours of direct sunlight. If your site is getting less than that, then I would use a ground cover. We have we do have an extension webpage called The Best Plants for Difficult Places. The best plants for 30 tough sites, and that will look at alternative ground covers for excessive shade. With that said, don't use any compost or anything like that to try to add for the seed. I would try to seed just into that soil. Get a soil test and see if there's any limiting factors there. University of Minnesota has a soil testing laboratory that's a pretty good value for folks, and you can check that online on how to do that.
Yeah, that is a good deal and something good to do. A lot of lawn questions, obviously, this morning, and I think you get this from time to time, John. Would sprinkling gypsum over the lawn help to alleviate yellow grass from dog urine?
There's really no remedies for the dog urine spots that seem to show up after, every spring or even sometimes throughout the year. So that's just caused by a salt burn from the urine itself. You can try to put water on it immediately after the dogs urinate in a spot, but there's really nothing you can do about the salt buildup in the soil that temporarily causes turf death. What you should do is just try to spread some seed there in the springtime or really any time that's great for growing grass to try to regrow in those areas. Or to try to train your dog, if at all possible, to urinate somewhere else.
Julie, texter wants to know, they have the lilies that are taking over and spreading. Best way to kill them?
Lilies that are taking over and spreading. My first thought are the wild daylilies that are orange, and I'm guessing that they are talking about those. So in that case, you want to dig them up. They come up in big clumps. It's quite a bit of work, but you could work away at it. That's one thing. If the other option is spraying them with an herbicide. So you could do that as well. So those two things. But now is the time to dig them up while they're small.
Okay. Texter says, hello, I have so many bare spots. I keep seeding, but no grass ever grows, just bare soil. What do I do?
Well, I would look at if you have a certain area that you just can't get it to germinate, you can try a couple of different things. First, I would make sure that you don't have any limiting soil nutrients, and a soil test would be the best way of learning that. The next thing is on your site prep. So I would lightly rake any areas if you are going to spread seed. Basically this point forward until next November, I would lightly rake before I would seed if you do have bare soil. If you're just seeding over the canopy of turf, that's one other thing you don't have to rake. But lightly rake the soil and then lightly rake and spread the seed, lightly rake again after, and then consider using a germination or erosion control blanket. That might help retain moisture and get better germination in that site.
Okay. A listener wants to know, when should I take my rose cone off my rose bush?
You could probably take that off now. You want to look at that and see if the buds are starting to break. And definitely if they are, then you can take it off at that point.
All right, let me see. I think we have a caller coming in. Yes, Dan is calling in from Plymouth this morning. Good morning, Dan. What is your question for Julie and John?
Bush. Say that again. Hydrangea bush. Would it benefit me to take those blossoms off or benefit the plant?
Yeah, absolutely. That's called deadheading, and you want to remove those dead blossoms. Go down about two nodes. That's the point at which new growth is coming out, where there's buds. And we have an excellent hydrangea, pruning hydrangea video and webpage that you can check out. It's on our trees and shrubs page on extension.umn.edu. But yes, definitely you can prune those off.
Listener via text says this, John, I dormant seeded an area of my lawn. When should I start watering it?
Really, you just have to water as needed. So just try to supplement. If you see that the seedlings after they've emerged, if the water got turned off because we didn't really get any more rain, then I would just start paying more attention to it. But normally there's enough moisture in the soil in the springtime to get things up and established. But if we get some prolonged days, or if you have a soil that just dries out a little bit faster than others, just keep an eye on it, and you'll notice when it starts to dry out, and you can water anytime, really, that it's drying.
Okay. This listener via text says, when do I 10-10 fertilize rhubarb, asparagus, etc.?
When you start to see new growth, that's a rule of thumb for fertilizing plants, is when they are actively growing. So as you start to see them emerge, that would, and the soil has thawed out, which it has, then go ahead and start applying your fertilizer.
Okay. Listener says, my Northeast Minneapolis lawn just got destroyed after a winter tree removal. It was never a good lawn, so I want to start over. Do you recommend hydro seeding?
Hydro seeding can be an effective way if you're looking to establish a big area. So the hydro mulch that's included within the hydro seeding is just supposed to hold the seed in place and provide a little bit more moisture, or retain more moisture. That can be an effective way for establishing a larger area. It's not necessary if it's a couple thousand feet or less. But larger areas, sure, you can either pay somebody to do that, and there's even some equipment where you can rent the hydro mulch. There's also some products out there where you can spread the mulch, or an erosion control or germination blanket yourself. If you're a DIYer or you're looking to save some money, you can do that as well.
Very good. Before we take a break, let's grab another phone call. Todd is calling in from Ramsey this morning. Todd, good morning. What is your question?
Good morning. We have a large yard. It's heavily wooded, but the open areas where there is turf, there's one particular spot that year upon year, no matter how often I fill it with topsoil, the soil sinks, collapses, and there's a big depression that's probably 10 feet in diameter. I've even went to the extent of taking off the turf, putting in gravel and then soil over it and paving stones on top to try to fight it and make it into patio, and that sunk again. And any idea what would cause repeated dropping in a particular area of a lawn?
Yeah, my first thought is that you have a potential sinkhole down below, and it could be several feet or several yards below the soil surface. And unfortunately, there's not a whole lot that you can do in those types of scenarios. Your strategy of trying to backfill with stones or larger structures is going to help try to retain that from sinking down. Unfortunately, I'm at a loss there as far as what you could potentially do other than what you've been trying to do. Adding more soil is probably not going to help very much. That's just going to also sink a little bit more. So larger stones, pavers, things like that is probably your best bet for trying to fill in that hole.
Yeah, good luck with that. All right, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, Gene from Egan, you're going to be next up there on the phone. We'll grab a couple more texts or more if we can here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Stay with us. And welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here, along with Julie Wisenhorn and John Trappi from the U of M, answering those lawn and garden questions, which there are many, still many. Let's see how many folks we can help out. We promised Jean and Egan that she'd be first up here when we came back. Thank you for holding on, Jean. What is your question?
Hi, I have a bunch of yews that, and someone asked this last week. It got an answer. I've got a different kind of question for it.
Okay.
The deer really munched them up and left that kind of rusty looking needles all up and down. So the woman that was on last week was saying to scrape it, scrape off those rusty needles. And I'm wondering if you can just cut the branch down to where the green begins.
Okay, so those needles are rusty not because of the deer, they're rusty because of winter burn. So this is when temperatures heat up, we get that intense sunlight in the winter, it heats up the cells and the activity within those needles, and then the temperature drops subtly at night and those needles freeze, that chlorophyll freezes, and you can get it can kill off those needles. So the needles are dead, but probably the branch is not dead. And what you'd like to do is you can just run your hand along it and any dead needles are going to fall off at that point. But you're looking for these chartreuse buds along those branches. And that indicates that there's active growth and that branch is going to regrow. So that is the ideal situation, is to just, you know, make sure the branch is still living and to leave it alone at this point until it leafs out. If it is truly dead, it will be, you know, you'll know it. You'll see nothing growing. There'll be no buds. And at that point, you could trim it back into the green area.
Okay. Looking at a text, listener is wondering when to put starter fertilizer down.
Well, starter fertilizer typically implies, and I'm assuming we're referring to a lawn here. Starter fertilizer typically refers to fertilizers containing phosphorus. Now, phosphorus in Minnesota is restricted to be applied to lawns, except for when you're establishing a new lawn from seed or sod, or if you have a soil test report that shows that phosphorus is deficient in your soil. And most soils, around 70 to 80% in Minnesota, are not deficient in phosphorus, so they cannot receive quote-unquote starter fertilizer. Now, if you're referring to just standard lawn maintenance fertilizer, really, in the next week or so is a great time to start fertilizing, because that's when, just like Julie had mentioned earlier, that's when the plants are starting to grow, because we want to make sure that the plants can take up those nutrients. So really, any time you can use a maintenance fertilizer in the next couple of weeks would be great after you start seeing your lawn grow.
All right. When should corn gluten be put down? What's the story of corn gluten? What's that about?
So corn gluten meal is a byproduct of corn milling, and it's been reported to have a little bit of herbicidal activity. It's a fertilizer product that's a natural organic source of nitrogen, and it's typically a 901 or a 1001, that's nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium within the fertilizer product, the analysis. It is a natural fertilizer source. But it's really not that different unless you really care about having an organic lawn product. It's really no different than most other products out there. And the herbicidal activity, there is some pre-emergent activity from it, but that's some later reports have shown that that's not really the case. And it's really just the nitrogen fertilizer in the product that's working. So good product. As far as the long-winded answer to say, the other question, wait until the lawn is actively growing and then you can apply the fertilizer.
Very good. 2 minutes to go on the show. What do I do? Julie, we've had this before. What do I do with bare roots showing under a large maple tree with no soil covering the ground? Help.
The best thing to do is to choose a different kind of ground cover, and that could be mulch. And then you could interplant that mulch with some shade perennials like hosta. But don't cover those roots. Don't bury them with soil. They're raised to the surface for a reason, and you don't want to cover them up or cut them or anything like that. So using mulch between them and then interplanting is a good way to go.
Okay. Listener wants to know, have you heard of evergreen dwarf grass, and can we grow it in Minnesota?
I think that's an ornamental, Julie.
I don't know. No, I have not heard of that before. It'd be nice to know the Latin name, but I'm not sure.
So well, we'll
do some research.
Yes, we'll get our research team here at CCO Radio to check that out.
Checking right now.
In the
now.
Meantime, Julie and John, always a pleasure, always fun, always great information that you guys impart. Let's give our listeners, before we get ready for the news, about the U of M website. Give us that.
Yeah, extension.umn.edu. We are under Yard and Garden, but there's a lot of good information under Natural Resources and other university programs as well and extensions. So, but check out Yard and Garden. We've got some excellent information, including podcasts from Smart Gardens.
Excellent. And get to the Arboretum for sure.
Yes.
Julie and John, thanks so much. Have a great week, and we'll talk soon.
Sounds good, Denny. Thank you.
Thank you, Julie.
Thanks, Denny.
Thank you, John.